Welcome to Sports Day with Badge and Sats. Two footy legends covering all things sport. Kia, the Kia Sorento, drive car of the year.
Yeah, tough night at the office tonight. Scotty Sattler, Gary Belcher here with you. Sats, how are we going to fit it all in? That's the big question. How are you, mate?
Very well, very well. And a great day, of course. The Australians in the pool again. We're going to talk about that. But there's been a fair few events. There's some that are about to kick off during our show as well, Badge. But the big news was all this morning about Caelan McEwan, wasn't it?
Yes, yes. A lot of water sports. Caelan McEwan, 100-metre backstroke, more gold for Australia. How good was that? Owen Wright got our first surfing medal. He came third, got a bronze in the men's surfing. And Jess Fox, just disappointed she was. She got bronze in the kayak. She's got another event tomorrow. So, she's still in the hunt for another one. But, gee, she was disappointed when she didn't quite get there in the pool today. Team list Tuesday, Sats.
Yeah, there's actually, it's interesting. There is a there's one team that has got even stronger towards the back end of the season, one that has been going really well that has weakened up a little bit this weekend, and funnily enough, they play each other.
Yep, plenty of changes. The Matildas are kicking off soon against the USA. So a win, and they'll go through to the knockout stage. We'll keep you updated with that. The Opals, of course, our basketball ladies up against Belgium, 6:20. That one starts. So we'll have one eye on Channel 7 there as well. And Titmus versus Ledecky part two today. That was in the 200-metre freestyle semis. And Arnie, good girl, qualified fastest. Gee, she's a brooch.
Qualified fastest, and she was probably at about, I don't know, 85%, 80%. It was amazing.
Is she just one of those people that just makes it look easy, and we don't know. Yeah. Anyway, she's incredible. She loves a challenge. She was once again behind and had to make a daring comeback. Well, she didn't have to win, of course, to go through to the final, but she qualified fastest. So she reeled in the swimmer just on her right. All right, we better rip into the show, gents. Time for this.
Sports Day Sports Update.
Bit of footy stuff around NRL, Sats, and we mentioned this last night, but Craig Bellamy has locked himself in, or the Melbourne Storm have locked him in, for up to 5 years, or another 5 years, definitely two, as head coach.
Yeah, exactly, and it's some really good footage, actually, and I urge listeners to go and watch it on Fox League. It's some footage that's been videoed internally amongst Craig Bellamy's staff, and as he addresses the players and explains his decision this morning. And it's a really good 5 or 6 minute grab of just the way he talks to the players, why he signed, how he's got great admiration for this group and what they've done last year in relation to a lot of moving parts, what they're doing this year and how they've still got a job at hand, and how he believes this current group of Melbourne Storm teams is as good as any team they've ever had in the history of the club, or his time that's been there in 19 years. So it shows again how important this club has been to him and continues to be. And that 5 years, like you said, Badge, it's going to be a little bit of, when we talk about moving parts, there's going to be a few moving parts when in relation to that. He'll definitely coach next year and then possibly the year after. But after that, it'll be surrounding where he sits and how he feels as a head coach. And to be quite honest, Badge, I don't think there's a ready-made replacement. So I think the timing's perfect for him to continue on as head coach so they can identify who that coach is that takes over from him. And he'll be part of that very important process.
And they're just keeping him away from other clubs. The Brisbane Broncos wanted him. Perhaps the new franchise in Brisbane, of which you could be a part, Scotty Sattler, would have wanted him too. So 5 years would mean that he's staying at Melbourne Storm, because one thing I'm pretty sure of, Craig Bellamy's not one who's going to break contracts. And that's our hot topic coming up very soon. Is he the best coach of the modern era? There are some rippers. If he's still around, of course, we're going to toss some good names up. We'd love you to toss up.
Well, sometimes it's not about the numbers, the sheer stats, is it? It's about the effect they have on how do you gauge the best coach? Is it gauged on the effect they have on players that go on to then coach and play roles in, whether it's commentators or coaching or other areas in rugby league? Or is it about players that you coach into representative honours? but there's some good
numbers.
Or is
it just about grand final wins, premierships or grand final appearances? Just give us a text, 0477 736 736. Tell us what you reckon. Who is the best coach or the greatest coach in rugby league, the modern era? Or you might want to toss up someone that was around in yesteryear as well. Hey, the NRL's been made aware of a COVID bubble breach in Queensland. West Tigers player, you might have seen this, I think, on the weekend or yesterday, there was a picture of him out in the balcony in his hotel room, and of course, they're not allowed to be. Mm. So he's broken the strict protocols by walking onto his balcony to get some fresh air. It might first glance, I went, oh, gee, that's pretty petty, but these are the rules, and he had to stay. I think he was isolating from the rest of his team for a while because he was a close contact of a COVID case in Sydney recently as well. So
it is one of those trivial ones, isn't it? You sit back and say, but
the Queensland government is, you know, on the brink of giving the NRL the heave-ho.
And I get it. I get it. It is a breach under the protocols, but it's one of those ones where it'd be very easy to forget that would be a breach to open up a balcony door and walk out and get some air and all of a sudden go, oh, hang on a sec, I can't be out here. So it's one of those ones I can understand, but still not acceptable, but understand. Mm. Yeah.
Said he had a hard training session, needed a bit of fresh air and, anyway, we'll see how that one plays out. This was interesting, Sats. Michael Ennis last night said that, I think, was it on Fox?
On Fox.
He holds... Yep. Serious concerns for the Panthers' premiership hopes. He reckons they look tired, and with Cleary out and possibly Isaiah Yeo on the sidelines, and now James Fisher-Harris returning home. He has some worries. Have a listen.
I do have concerns because Nathan was so dominant and so good early in the season. I thought Jerome Luai, you know, their combination was just majestical at times. It was brilliant. It was so good to watch. At the moment, they look a little tired. Obviously, the Origin period's taken its toll on them. We know that Fisher-Harris is going to depart for a couple of weeks. He's been one of the best forwards in the competition. But just moments like these, we haven't seen from Penrith. We haven't seen them squander points and give up cheap points all season, particularly through the middle.
Defensively concerning, Badge. I think that is... I don't think they look tired. I just think that they've lost a lot of key players at the moment. Not a lot of key players, but important players from Cleary and now Yeo being out, and then James Luai was out for a while, and... but they lost those players that are very important to the cog, to the chain that has been so successful for them on the field the last 18 months. But I think defensively is where Ivan Cleary might be the most concerned. And defensively, they've been leaking a couple of really easy tries. And the one I allude to is probably, and it's quite an easy one to look at, is Ethan Bullimore, the young, powerful back row for the Broncos, just ran straight in between James Fisher-Harris and another player, and I can't remember who it was from memory, and scored underneath the goalposts to put the Broncos in a situation where they could have actually stole extra time. So I think they're the main concerns for Penrith at the moment.
Yeah, they're no doubt at all. Tell us what you think. I don't think there's such a big worry as you lead into the finals. I think it's not bad to have a bit of a lull, and they wouldn't be doing it on purpose.
Well, everyone goes through it, don't they? I mean... Everyone that wins a comp eventually has two or three weeks where they're off the ball a little bit, and they drop their intensity and they drop their focus for a small time. No one can stay up for the entire 29 weeks of a season when you go through and win a grand final.
Exactly right. Rightio, we better get to a break on Sports Day. Give us a call. Tell us what you think. 0477 736 736. Sports Day for the Kia Sorento Drive Car of the Year. When we come back, Toby Rudolph from the Cronulla Sharks will join us. Always good for a chat.
You're listening to Sports Day. Have your say by dropping Badge and Sats a text. 0477 736 736. That's 0477 736 736. This is Sports Day. We'll be right back. This is Sports Day with Badge and Sats. For Kia, the Kia Sorento, Drive Car of the Year.
Yeah, we promised him earlier on, and he's come through. Our NRL star on the line. You got to love a late bloomer too. And Toby Rudolph only got his first game in the NRL last year when he was 24 for the Sharkies. How are you, Toby?
Very good, boys. Not too sure about that star label. It's a bit hectic, but I'm very glad to be here.
Well, actually, on that note, Tim Sheens, my old coach at the Raiders, used to say, you're not a top-grade player until you have 50 games under your belt. You feel like a permanent first grader yet?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I've still notched up a fair few more reserve grade games than I have first grade, and some players might still give me a bit of stick about being a reserve grader, but I'm starting to feel like they're wrong now, so we get to 50 games, it should all change.
Yeah, well, I think you're proven wrong every week, mate. You'd certainly look, you don't look out of place. You've been braining them for the Sharkies, who coincidentally turned to your club, the Redcliffe Dolphins. You're playing this weekend against Manly. That'll be a nice homecoming for you, mate. You played a few years at the Dolphins.
Yeah, can't wait. I mean, the fans out there are unreal, and they're just thirsty for rugby league. They just love it out there, so... to bring a game out there, the manager gave me a call a couple of days before it was announced, so I had the full inside scoop, so very important. I'm stoked to bring the game back there and see the old fans out there.
When are you out of isolation, all the NRL teams, Toby? You're in Brisbane, based with a couple of the other clubs as well. Is it tomorrow, officially?
Yeah, tomorrow at 6:30, but we're still unclear on what the restrictions will be, whether in level 4, level 3, essentials, or... Because we all believe we'd be sort of out in the open and complete freedom tomorrow, but that's not the case. So we're still on some very heavy restrictions, unfortunately.
So with the other clubs, you've got the West Tigers. Is it the Dragons as well?
Yeah, those two. Same with us, yeah.
And so, and with that, you're allowed to interact with all the other players in the bubble, I hear. And with that, are you having like inter-club rivalry, like card games, table tennis, whatever it may be?
That sounds really nice, but no, everyone sort of sticks to themselves. We're all sort of on different levels, so we only really see each other when we're, you know, going down to get brekkie together or going to get lunch, all that sort of stuff. Just a few little awkward hellos here and there, but nothing too much.
So players are kind of, a lot of them, I'm sure, are hanging out for their families to join them. You're just saying you don't really know what coming out of this this bubble restrictions means.
No, not as of yet. I know that our COVID cop was on a phone call today at around 4 o'clock.
Who's that?
He would have got some.
Who's your COVID cop?
His name is Hugh. He looks just like Damien Cook, but other than that, I don't think you boys would know him. He's the man with all the answers, but I haven't been able to ask him the question just yet. So we'll wait and see, sort of at dinner, what the go is.
Oh, very good. Hey, mate, how's Josh Hannay going? We know he's kind of, you know, he's a fill-in coach, but he seems to me as though he means a fair bit more to the players than that. And, you know, it's his second time he's had this role, and Craig Fitzgibbon turns up at the end of the year for next season. But he seems to be doing a really good job there.
Yeah, look, I couldn't give Josh a big enough rap as to how he's handle the whole transition from Bomber leaving to him coming in, and our 6-week sort of losing period there. He's taken everything in his stride, and he's been unreal. And to be perfectly honest, he's an absolute pleasure to play for, and he's a pleasure to work with. So I think you're right, spot on with it in saying that we sort of he's a bit more than just a filling coach to us. He's, you know, he's our gaffer this year, and we're doing our best to play like it for him. So. Yeah, and really stoked to hear he's come on board for next year as well. Just give me all the confidence in the world for next year.
And with those newcomers coming on board, like Craig Fitzgibbon, the coach, who has got a great work ethic, a really good defensive mentality as well, Toby, with Hines, McInnes, and now Finucane, how was that received amongst the team when finally Finucane was announced during the week?
Everyone's absolutely stoked. I'm a bit worried that I might lose my job, but other than that, everyone's chuffed. We've heard a lot of things about Finucane that he's the ultimate professional and he trains like he plays, which makes pre-season next year sound pretty fun. And McInnes is the same, we've heard. He sort of trains the way he plays, and Nico Hines is a bit of a late bloomer like myself, and I know Nico quite well. So with all the people that we've signed up, we're confident in every one of those signings and we're very pleased about them all. So still a lot of work to do this year in 2021, but exciting future for 2022.
Yeah, I think you'll be all right. You're playing good enough footy, mate, to be in a starting position there somewhere. Now, when you talk about bringing family into your little bubble when they spend 14 days, Liam Knight is like family to you. So do you actually officially bring Liam Knight into the Sharks camp?
I haven't thought about that yet. He's brought his missus up, so he brushed me out of the house.
Oh, you're not roomies anymore?
No. I think we moved out around 2 or 3. We sort of parted company. He sort of tapped me on the shoulder and gave me the bad news that I've been replaced with a female. And
he broke the bro code, did he?
Well, yeah. We were all fine and happy before she came along and ruined everything. But look, this is the way it is. So I'm not gonna go asking him to come crawling back when he booted me out in the first place. We can't take rejection twice.
Hey, what are you guys doing? I mean, what do you do outside training when you're kind of restricted to your hotel? What goes on?
Great question. A lot of nothing. The Olympics, the last few days have saved us. Can watch that and a few videos and highlight reels of that. A lot of PlayStation and on my part Nintendo, lots of Mario Kart and Zelda and a bunch of other things, a bunch of just quiet time to yourself and a lot of time to reflect on what you've done in your life and how your life's going and the direction your life's going in. So
you had
a really, really experience. Pardon?
You happy with it at the moment? Life?
Oh, honestly, I'm absolutely loving it. I mean, in Sydney, we were in our homes, but we couldn't leave anywhere. We were by ourselves. I was by myself anyway, so at least now I've got, you know, all my friends around me and, you know, even the other teams. I've got a few friends there as well, and it's just nice being all together. I mean, I think some boys and families might be a bit different. I've got no wife and no kids. I played it smart, so I think some boys might be have a different mindset than me, but I'm loving this.
Now, yeah. And sorry, Sats.
Yep. Now, Will Chambers, you talk about having players in camp, and Will Chambers is renowned, Toby, for being one of the greatest pests in rugby league at Melbourne and for the Queensland Origin and also the Kangaroos. Has he worked his way into also getting that mantle at the Sharks pretty quickly?
Actually, Will hasn't been staying with us. He went to Melbourne to see his family and some sort of COVID rule he broke, and he's actually staying in Kingscliff by himself for 2 weeks. So is a bullet dot by the team, you could say for sure. But look, even without the 2 week lockdown, he was already sort of taking that title, making it his own. So like I said, a bullet dodge that he wasn't here with us for the 2 weeks, but he's joining us very soon.
Yeah, well, he's named this week, so that's a bit of a bonus for the side for this game against Manly on Sunday. Hey, Sean Johnson's hammy. Have you got an update for us there? It's a bit of a worry for the side.
Yeah, massive. I mean, look, I saw him at breakfast today, but he hadn't got the scans back yet. I'd say I'm back now. I didn't really see him at lunchtime. He said it felt sort of didn't feel too good. So whether that's 3 or 4 weeks, or whether that's the rest of the year, I'm not too sure yet. For his sake and for our sake, I really hope that it is only like a minor strain, a minor hammy tear, whatever he did. But look, if he isn't there, I have full faith in Connor Tracy, Braden Trindle. We have a young kid, Luke Metcalf, who, you know, could be looking at a debut potentially in the next couple of weeks. So whoever fills that role, I mean, they're definitely not Sean Johnson, but I definitely have faith in them to do the job.
Now, everyone says, oh, I'm just thinking about the next game. Don't look any further ahead. But really, we're into round 20. And I can tell you, if you haven't seen it, you've got a pretty good run home, Toby. You've got a pretty good run home. So if the Sharks are going to make the eight, you're dead set, you're right in the hunt.
Yeah, for sure. It's absolute a load of rubbish that no one looks at who's coming up and who's next and who's coming up for finals. You know we have a good shot at making it, but we've also butchered a couple of games that we should have won in the past few weeks, which is definitely not our confidence a bit, and sort of made us go back and look at what we could have done better. And that's the beautiful thing about rugby league, there's always a new game next week, so hopefully we can rectify some of those losses as we move forward and really push our spot, because I think from about 6th or 7th till 10th, there's about 2 points separates everyone there, so now it's time to keep winning and make sure we cement our spot firmly in that eight.
Now, one more week for Try July. It's a great cause for Mossy Masoi, and I think at the moment Braden Hamuelli and Jack Williams have the gold medal at the moment when it comes to Try Celebrations. Now, with 1 week to go, is there much work going into Try Celebrations for this week?
Well, I'll have you know, actually, I think we play on the 1st of August, so I don't know if we make the cut. I've looked ahead, boys. I'm well aware. You guys need to be on your game a bit more. Come on.
was that a heart attack you had last week when you scored?
I don't know what it was. It was meant to be a bit of a resuscitation of life. Blake Bradley was meant to hold the footy, but I threw it away because I was absolutely stoked to finally got my first try. So it was sort of a muck-up of things, but we did our best with what we were given. And look, boys, I'm just glad I got the 2 points. So please don't knock me for the try celebration.
Yeah, no. Now, listen, I've always found that wingers are really interesting characters over my footballing life. The wingers, are they kept in a completely separate area in isolation, or are they allowed to fraternise with the rest of the team?
Yeah, they have like a two-hour time limit when they're allowed to get their talking done and get their point across for whatever crap they're talking about. But once that 2 hours is up, they're on. I think they're on actually in the basement somewhere, locked away, and then they're allowed to come up for lunch and breakfast every second day.
Take their gimp mask off. Yeah.
It's never changed. It's never changed with wingers. Hey, mate, it's always great talking to you. Hey, tell us about your Olympics. What's floating your boat with the Aussies at the Olympics?
Oh, I do love watching the sevens, rugby sevens. I do like watching the tour, but obviously it's been sort of hit and miss this year with COVID going on. I've watched a bit of slalom. Don't know how. It just always seems to be on constantly. The swimming's always good. I saw, can't remember her name, but I think she won the 100-metre backstroke and swore on TV. Yeah, that was unreal. So just honestly, anything that's on, I think at one point I've watched a bit of taekwondo and weightlifting. So whatever's on, I'll just watch it.
If there was a sport that Toby Rudolph could qualify for in the Olympics, what would it be?
As you put me on the spot here.
It's not gymnastics. I know that.
I think your teammate said weightlifting. You pump plenty of iron in the gym.
Well, whoever said that's lying to their teeth, that's a load of shit. I think maybe... I wouldn't mind having a go at the pole vault just to sort of feel like what it feels like to fly through the air, you know?
Oh, nice. Gold, great. I love it.
Who would be in the weightlifting from Talakai and Royce Hunt? They look like weapons.
Yeah. Royce Hunt being there for the upper body. I'll give Jack Williams the nod for the actual Olympic weight.
Squats?
He's squats, cleans, jerks, you name it, he's doing it. So I'll give him the reign of the Sharks team for the 2020 Tokyo Olympics, and I think he'd do quite well. He's a very strong man.
Is Jack Williams doing all he can to try and look like Paul Gallen from a build point of view?
Jay, Jack, that is a real, real bad insult in Jack Williams' face. That sucks. That hurts. I mean, look, he's doing his best in terms of his body, but Gal looks like he's been living for about 400 years. So, I'll pass on the information to Jack and see how he takes it.
Well, if he can fight like him, he'd be doing all right, no doubt at all. Hey, Toby, good on you, mate. We better get to a break. It's always great talking to you, and appreciate your time on Sports Day, mate. Good luck for the Sharkies this week. Back at your old stomping ground, yeah. Redcliffe against Manly.
Keep playing well.
Thanks very much, boys. Appreciate it. Up the Dolphins, eh?
Wow, isn't he good value, Sats?
Oh, he's love refreshing. I love our
chatted
Rory.
To Toby
is.
Before, and hopefully we'll chat again. This is Sports Day for the Kia Sorento Drive Car of the Year. When we come back, our hot topic, Craig Bellamy just re-signing to the Storm. Is he the greatest coach of the modern era? We'll have a little debate on Sports Day.
This is Sports Day with Badge and Sats for Kia, the Kia Sorento Drive Car of the Year.
Now, Hot Topic time.
Yeah, the Hot Topic is all around Craig Bellamy's re-signing with the Melbourne Storm for another 2 years, and they feel as though that it could eventually be a 5-year deal, but Craig has always been that person at the back end of his coaching career that just doesn't look too far ahead. Many have thought, Badge, for a number of years that he was going to stand down and maybe retire from coaching, but when you get the success and the amount of passion he's got from the club, it's pretty hard to walk away, isn't it?
He's really honest with this sort of stuff, is Craig. Unlike, there are some coaches that hold their cards close to their chest or they'll say the opposite to what they really think. But very honestly, he has said, I really don't think I'm going to coach. That was sort of late last year. I can't see myself coaching beyond 2021. He just felt, because he gives so much to it, but must be feeling really good. And I'm glad he didn't make that decision at the end of last year. And must be feeling great to have taken on a couple more years. I think he's also in line to, if he doesn't coach here, to take on maybe a coaching director's role or something else, because he's so important to the organisation. And he's on great money, and it's for a reason. His results have been absolutely outstanding, Sats. And the hot topic is he the greatest coach of the modern era? Well, you can mount a very, very good argument. Sats, can I just toss up the coaches that I reckon are in the mix?
Yep.
Wayne Bennett absolutely has to come into it.
Well, he's coached nearly 900 games, hasn't he?
He has. And finishing with the Rabbitohs this year, so he's 871 games. His winning percentage is 62%. So anytime you're in the 60s, you're doing pretty well.
Yeah.
And seven premierships. Six with the Broncos, one with the Dragons, a couple of other grand finals, one with the Raiders, we got beaten in 87, and then, of course, the Broncos in 2015, was it, when the Cowboys were there. So, amazing, his longevity, and then his efforts with Queensland and Australia have been outstanding too. Tim Sheens' is next most game, 669, just over 50%, but four premierships. Three with the Raiders and one with the West Tigers.
And coached at a couple of clubs like the Cowboys that didn't taste a lot of success. Went to the West Tigers when there wasn't a lot of success either.
Yeah, they weren't winning
years.
Many games. Yeah. Desi Hasler, 417 games for 237 wins. That's 57% and a couple of premierships with Manly. Had that stint at the Canterbury that didn't quite work out, but he's looking really good.
But still
back
took
at Manly
the two
again.
Grand finals.
Yeah.
Yeah, 2012, yeah, 2014.
Yeah, you're right, actually. And we shouldn't say that's not successful. I should have reworded that. But they didn't taste their ultimate goal, of course, in winning the grand finals. Trent Robinson at the Roosters, he's only been to that club in 217 games now. Three premierships, 65% win rate. Got to be talked about. And if he keeps going, you know, he's going to be right up
well,
there.
Well, one in his first year, 2013, as a head coach. Like, yeah. Unheard of in some areas, yeah.
And you want to throw in?
Well, when you say
Ken Carney,
well, when you say the modern era, we look at those ones you just mentioned. But you look at in the history of the game, Ken Carney, for example, 57 to 61. He took over from Norm Tipping when they had their 11 premierships in a row. He was replaced after a couple of those premierships, Tipping. But then Ken Carney went 57 to 61, five premierships as captain coach as well. But in the modern era, there's not too many that go past Bellamy and Bennett. I think.
When what about Parramatta fans? They'd be going, well, don't forget Jack Gibson.
Exactly.
And he had success at the Roosters too, didn't he?
Yeah. So what do you gauge success on, Badge?
Is it
on premierships? Is it on the amount of games? Is it the amount of players that they get through to representative honours?
Tim Sheens has been the greatest coach as far as coaches that came through under his watch that have gone on and not just be successful as players but as coaches as well.
And not only coaches, in other areas of rugby league, operations, strength
and
conditioning,
yeah,
whatever
it may
be.
Yeah, he's left a huge footprint on the game, and he will be back with the Tigers next year. Craig Bellamy won three premierships, but he's actually won five grand finals. Two of those taken off them. And I'm still, you know, my personal opinion is that was harsh. So I put him down for five grand finals. Still doesn't match Wayne Bennett's seven premierships. And remember, that's with two different clubs. You could say, well, he had the mighty Brisbane Broncos and they were always going to win. Well, it still takes a hell of an effort to win a grand final and to back it up. But then to do it at the Dragons, that was a good side. That wasn't one of the all-time great sides, the Dragons. A very good side. I think that showed his ability to get the best out in his players. So, toss of the coin for everyone there. For me, at 69, virtually 70% win rate, I'm sticking with Craig, my former teammate, Craig Bellamy.
Now, Badge,
what about you?
Yeah, well, I'm going Bennett on the seven premierships and the influence that he's had on players. Now, there is an argument and we'll ask the listeners, I should say, 0477 736 736. What do you think? Who do you think is the best all-time coach? We may have missed some, but when you look at Bellamy, Badge, and you played with him, you won a comp with him in 90, did you think he was going to be a coach? And I've asked you this many a time.
No. I wasn't surprised he came in and coached in the lower grades, and he was a strength and conditioning coach and jack of all trades at the Broncos before I turned up. I wasn't surprised he's involved in the game because he's an outstanding person and, you know, just great with footballers and their families and whatever else. But the way he's adapted that to his football, and now when you take out of the equation, you know, Cameron Smith and Billy Slater and Cooper Cronk and Greg Inglis. Well, now that they're gone and he's still won last year's premiership, I think a lot of people, his detractors, might have shut up and gone, gee, it wasn't just about the superstars that he had. The bloke can coach.
Yeah, absolutely. Taking some players that have, some players like Brian Norrie who were playing country footy and turning them into premiership players.
Well, David Finucane was a really good player at the Bulldogs. Now he's the most wanted player in the game. Yeah. He's really flourished.
Yeah, Justin Ollam coming from Papua New Guinea, turning him to one of the most explosive centres and destructive centres in the competition. Yeah.
Brinko Lee won a premiership last year.
Exactly. Yeah, amazing. 0477-736-736. Do you agree with Badge? Bellamy, the best. I still think Bennett's the best, but Bellamy and Bennett, I think they sit at the same table having a nice glass of red wine and all. Actually, Wayne would have a red cordial.
Yeah. He pretend it's red.
Talking about some of their the most popular games as coaches. This is Sports Day with Badge and Sats for Kia Sorento, Drive Car of the Year.
Welcome to Sports Day with Badge and Sats. Two footy legends covering all things sport. Kia, the Kia Sorento, Drive Car of the Year. On Sports Day, time for a Racing Queensland update. Queensland is your place to race this year.
That's exactly right. Queensland is racing and the action continues this week at Doomben. It's everywhere. Gold Coast, Sunshine Coast, regionals, Twilight Racing.
Toowoomba.
It's all happening. Chris Nelson, he updates us with everything in Queensland racing. How are you, Chris?
Going very well, thanks, Sats. Evening to you, evening, Badge.
You don't want to say hello, Badge? Or
Yeah. I thought you were going. Hello, Chris.
So we spoke to you last night, Chris, in relation to the upcoming meets this week. But you got some updates on some well-known Queensland horses and one of Badger's favourites.
I have, and I know this is one of Badger's favourites. We'll start off with it. And Alligator Blood, of course, who is not a Queensland horse as such anymore because he's going to the Gay Waterhouse Adrian Bott stable at some stage. Now, bit of a forgotten horse. He'd been off the scene. We haven't seen him for quite some time, but I know he's down to have a trial, like a jump out trial at the Sunshine Coast during their meeting on Sunday afternoon. So at the moment, that's where we're going to see him next, Alligator Blood.
All is forgiven, Chris, from the drama at the Magic Millions. Was it last year, early this year, or? Yeah, with the.
No, it was the year before, would you believe?
Yeah, year before.
2020, so right back at the beginning of 2020, it must have been. God, time flies, doesn't it?
Yes. Yeah. Yep. So, well, hopefully, come good straight away.
Yeah. No longer with David Van Dyke, of course. So we'll see what happens after the jump out on Sunday. Of course, Rothfire, who's one of Queensland's finest, suffered that injury in Sydney, of course, last spring. He's heading towards the Everest. He's having a gallop between races tomorrow at Doomben. I've tried to find out between which races. And haven't been able to find out as yet. So if I do find that out, I'll stick it up on Twitter. And Startled is a horse that not a lot of people have heard of, but one of David Van Dyke's had two starts with two wins. The latest was back in 2019 by 7 3/4 lengths. Absolutely bolted in. Obviously had issues. I saw it trial at Sunshine Coast this morning. Ran third under a good hold. Probably take another trial, but expect to see this one back soon. Very, very promising type. So there's three to look forward to in the next month or so, guys.
Great stuff. Great Beauty. Stuff. That's it?
That's it.
Yes, and I'm going to say goodbye, Chris. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Badge.
Yeah, this is Sports Day for the 7-seat Kia Sorento. That's just been crowned Drive Car of the Year. Chris Nelson, talk to you on Thursday.
Look forward to it, guys. All the best.
And, of course, Tuesday means that all the teams are announced for the coming week. There is one team that has got some absolute superstars returning, and one team that has been travelling outstanding through 2021 that again lose some players to injury. And Badge, the first game, the Roosters versus the Eels on Thursday night.
Yeah, Josh Morris returns because Billy Smith, gone for the season, ankle injury. Yeah. Gee, he has had a wretched run the last couple of seasons, the young centres. That means Joey Manu goes out on the wing for Matty Ikavalu. He got that ankle injury against the Knights. Adam Kieran comes in at centre for the Roosters, and Sio Takiaho has been named to return from a hammy injury. And for the Eels, Tom Opacic is back in the centres. He was rested last week, so young Will Penasini goes to the reserves bench, and Murata Nikora is out with a knee injury. His spot on the bench is going to be filled by Bryce Cartwright, who's been pretty good for the Eels
this year. That game's on Thursday night at BB Prince Stadium at Mackay, which is
it is.
It's a beautiful stadium in Mackay.
Yes.
Beautiful. Suncorp Stadium, first game on Saturday. West Tigers up against the Warriors. And Luke Garner's out with an injury. Sean Bloor goes in for him. Mo Zimbai goes into the centres. And for the Warriors, well, Peter Hickey returns from a shoulder injury. He's also been given the captaincy. And it's going to be interesting, Badge, the effect of Roger Tuivasa-Sheck officially leaving that camp. Even though when you're injured, yeah, you're still in and around the camp when you're in the bubble. But him actually leaving, what effect that's going to have, you know, psychologically, emotionally for the players. Yeah, Peter Hickey, as I said, he returns as captain. Chad Townsend is out. Sean O'Sullivan takes over. Now, Jermaine Tanua-Brown, the big front row, was loaned to the Dragons for a short stint. He has been returned to the Warriors, and he's back in for injured Adam Fanua-Blake. And Matty Lodge is suspended.
There you go. Righto. And it's a doubleheader at Suncorp Stadium, as you said. The home team, Broncos, up against the Cowboys. Didn't they have some wonderful clashes over the years, these two teams? Not sure what we'll cop on Friday night, but Thomas Flegler out suspended, so that means Keenan Palacia comes into the starting side. TC Rabadi for the Broncos on the bench. And Danny Levi recalled to the bench. Just his fifth game of the year since he joined the club in April for the Cowboys. Same starting 13. That went pretty well against Melbourne last week. The only change is Benny Hampton returning on the bench back from a pec injury. That means Dejan Arce goes on to the extended bench.
Haven't seen him for a while, have we?
No, no, exactly.
I love the regional games again on Saturday. First game of the Saturday, Super Saturday of Rugby League. Brown Park, Rockhampton. Best steak sandwich in Australia, best mixed grill at the Criterion, and the best bull ride at the Great Western Hotel in Rocky, I'm sure.
Do you do them all on the one day?
If you can, and you drink as much rum as humanly possible. Drink responsibly, of course.
Oh, Scotty, come on.
You're going to have a mixed grill, and then you get on a bull.
What's wrong with a beer with a steak?
Now, Tyrell Sloan for the Dragons comes in at fullback. Matty Dufty dropping back to the reserves. Corey Norman, he served his COVID breach ban. He comes back into the side in the centres. With Jaden Sullivan retaining the job at 5'8". Now, Jack DeBellum, Jack Bird, Blake Laurie, they're the three from the Dopey Dozen that will serve their ban this week. So in their place, Faumasili, Billy Burns and Tyrell Fuimano are the new faces in the starting lineup. And for the Rabbitohs, well, Cameron Murray, he's accepted a one-game ban for a crusher tackle. He wouldn't do anything wrong. Cameron Murray, as if you'd suspend him.
Face of an angel.
Jai Arrow, he moves into the starting side, so not a bad replacement. And Campbell Graham, he returns after missing round 19. So, and from that, Alex Johnson is also still out with a hamstring and could be another 2 weeks away, Badge. And Saturday 5:30 is the Knights versus the Raiders at Suncorp.
Another Suncorp game, yeah, Knights and Raiders. They've both got some gun players coming back. Bradman Best, he's been out since round 14, so 5 or 6 weeks out. He's back in for Dominic Young, and Inari Tuala moves on to the wing. Dave Clemmer returns as well after a HIA. So he comes into the interchange. And Mitch Pearce has been named in jersey 21. So he's half a chance of playing. Whereas for the Raiders, Jack Whiten comes back from his rib injury. Elliot Whitehead from a shoulder injury. That's there's some good ones there. Ryan Sutton, he's expected to miss a couple of weeks with a chest drama. Hudson Young moves to lock. And Josh Papali'i got that head knock last week, only played about 8 minutes, has been named, but Corey Horsburgh won't be back for another week for the Raiders.
Right. That'd be good. It'd be a good night at Suncorp, doubleheader. The 7:35 game is Suncorp Stadium also.
Again, two doubleheaders, Friday, Saturday.
And this, could we see this as the repeat grand final opponents? The Storm up against the Panthers. Now, we spoke about earlier on, at the start of the segment, one of the teams getting stronger, and that is the Storm. Cameron Munster, Dal Finucan, Felice Kafusi, Harry Grant returns, Nico Hines holds onto the number one jersey, Ryan Papenhuyzen again named on the bench, and big Nelson Asofa-Solomona, he's been left out of the 21-man squad this week, so I don't know what's going on there. And for the Panthers, Brian To'o is out for an ankle injury, Robert Jennings comes in, Tyrone May, medial ligament in his knee. He faces a large stint on the sideline. Matty Burton goes to 5'8". Brent Naden to the centres. Jerome Luai into the halves. And Nathan Cleary out for another week. And Isaiah Yeo will miss at least a week at this stage with that concussion from last week. So, and Penrith coach Ivan Cleary, he's opted against rushing Tevita Pengai Jr. into the side.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, which we're always going to anticipate. So first game on Sunday, Badge, Bulldogs versus Titans at Seabus.
just back on that, they'll put in a really gritty performance this week, the Panthers.
I think they will.
Yeah. It means a lot to them, even if they've got some troops out. Yeah, the Bulldogs, Panthers at Seabus. The Titans keep playing away. They're away at home. How good? How lucky are they? Yeah, what's going on for the Bulldogs? Adam Elliott comes back from a cheek injury. Luke Thompson moves back into prop. That's how he plays anyway. Ava Simenifanai slides back to the interchange. Kyle Flanagan's getting another go for the Bulldogs. So they pushed Lachlan Lewis back onto the bench. And Matt Dorey comes onto the bench as well. For the Titans, they've got problems with the centres. Patrick Herbert could be up for a two-game ban. He's fighting that at the judiciary, a careless high tackle. Isan Masters comes in for him. Brian Kelly's got some ankle concerns, but he has been named at this stage. And David Fifita, remember he started off the bench last week and had such an impact. Well, that works so well that they're pushing him back into the starting line.
Yeah,
line
good up.
So
now.
I'm not so sure about that one, but yeah, that's what the plan is. Jamal Fogarty is back on the extended bench from a hand injury.
It's going to be interesting whether he takes the number 6 jersey away from Ash Taylor and they keep Toby Sexton there. Moving forward.
Yeah, I think it could be a possibility. One more game, Sharks and Seagulls, Sats.
Yeah, Morton Daly Stadium, which is at Redcliffe. And this closes out the weekend. Who do you go for, Brixie? Are you a Manly fan?
No, I'm Redcliffe. I'm a Redcliffe boy.
Are you really?
You take the boy out of Redcliffe, you can't take Redcliffe out of the boy.
I can't believe one of you actually crossed the bridge.
They're actually, Redcliffe's not actually playing, Brixie. That's where they're playing the game.
Oh, I know, but still. They'll get a good crowd there.
Yeah, they will.
For the Sharkies, Sean Johnson could miss anywhere from 4 to 8 weeks with that hamstring injury. Braden Trindle goes in the halves. Connor Tracy will partner him as well. Will Chambers returns from COVID protocols. And Matty Moreland is also back, but he's in jersey number 18 for the Seagulls. Curtis Sirenin makes a long-awaited comeback, makes that team even stronger if he can stay on the field. And Carl Lawton will make his comeback from a back injury. And Sean Kepi, he's leaving, isn't he, for the birth of his child?
Yeah, he's had to go home for the... Yep.
Yeah, and Josh Alloway, he's out suspended as well. So that's it. Badge Team List Tuesday, the ins and outs for round 20, thanks to Seats R Us, delivering quality service and products that will leave you sitting in luxury. And also Kia Sorento, Drive Car of the Year.